Thank you, ladies. Now, I know for a fact that many mothers pray. Sometimes they pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood is not easy. And sometimes they pray because motherhood is extremely difficult. Someone wrote, "Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit they produce to wash dirty faces, all the old gum they held in their hands, all the noses they wiped, and all the banged up and bloody knees they made well with their soft kisses and comforting words. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing sheets in the middle of the night, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, and enduring all those football and soccer games in the rain and the cold. It's a day of appreciation for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do, and not believing them when they said, 'I hate you,' and sharing their good times and their bad. What exactly are mothers? Well, mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners and mowers and mulchers of lawns. Mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists, counselors, chauffeurs, coaches, and cheerleaders. Mothers are the developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, and shapers of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices that say, 'I love you,' and mothers are a link to God. They are a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all of these things and much, much, much more." Now, one of my favorite columns from Irma Bombeck tells of God in the act of creating mothers. She says, beyond the day that God created mothers, he had already worked very long hours overtime. And an angel said to him, "Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on that one." The Lord turned to the angel and said, "Have you read the specifications on this model? She is to be completely washable, but not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. She is supposed to have 6 pair of hands. 6 pair of hands, said the angel? That's impossible. Well, it's not the 6 pair of hands that bothers me, said the Lord. It's the 3 pair of eyes that she is supposed to have. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors, so that whenever she says, 'Hey, what are you kids doing in there?' she already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things that she's not supposed to see, but she must see. And she has 1 pair in the front that can look at a child who just goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word." "That's too much," said the angel. "You can't put that much in one model. You don't rest for a while. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "No, I can't," said the Lord. "I am close to creating something very much like me. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she is sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower." And then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, "She's too soft." "Oh, but she's tough," said the Lord. You'd be surprised how much this mother can do. Can she think? Asked the angel. Not only can she think, said the Lord, but she can reason and compromise and persuade. And then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. This one has a leak, he said. I told you that you couldn't put so much into one model. That's not a leak, said the Lord. That's a tear. What's a tear for? Asked the angel. Well, it's for joy. It's for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride. You're a genius, said the angel. And the Lord said, oh, but I didn't put it there. Keeping all of this in mind, perhaps we can better understand Mrs. Zebedee, the mother of James and John. Listen to this passage from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right and my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus about his kingdom. She was also very much aware of the fact that her sons, James and John, were close to Jesus. They were two-thirds of the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. So she was certain that when the Lord formed his kingdom, that they would have positions of responsibility and authority. But in the first part of the chapter, Jesus tells a story that must have disturbed Mrs. Zebedee quite a bit. It was the story about a landowner who went out to find laborers early in the morning. They agreed upon a fair day's wage, and they started working. And then at noon, he went out, and he found some more laborers, and they started working. And then towards evening, he went out again and found some more laborers, and they started working. Yet, when the Lord paid them off at the end of the day, they all received the same wage. It must have caused Mrs. Zebedee to wonder, will my sons really have positions of authority in the Lord's new kingdom? So when the opportunity presented itself, she came to the Lord. Matthew says that she bowed down before him and made this request. When you establish your kingdom, please let my sons sit in places of authority and honor on your right and your left hand. Now, we might well criticize Mrs. Zebedee for her presumptuousness, but since today's Mother's Day, maybe we ought to think for a few moments concerning some positive things about Mrs. Zebedee. We need also recognize that when she came to Jesus, while Jesus did not grant her request, neither did he deny it. He simply reminded her of the cost of being seated on the right and the left, and told her that it is the Father who determines who will be seated there. Now, what are some of the good things about Mrs. Zebedee? Well, first of all, she came to the Lord, praying that her sons might be part of his kingdom. And I can think of no more important task of motherhood than to seek to ensure that your children are part of the kingdom of God. I know that many mothers pray. As I said earlier, they pray out of necessity and because motherhood is not easy. James Dobson tells a story about a time he came home when his son Ryan was a small baby. It had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick, and he cried all day long. Once she was changing his diapers, the telephone rang, and his wife reached over to answer the phone before fastening the newly changed diaper. And just then, Ryan had another massive bowel movement. She cleaned up the mess. She put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes. And then she took him to the living room to feed him. And as she was burping him, he threw up all over her, himself, and the couch. Dobson goes on to say, "When I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." And his wife cried out to him, "Was this in my contract?" Sometimes mothers pray just out of the frustration of it all. And sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach our children, we realize the difficulties in communicating. A friend of mine remembers very clearly the time she left her 2-year-old son, Stephen, his very first responsibility. She told Stephen to watch his baby sister while she stepped out of the room. She had only been gone for a few moments when she heard a thump and the baby began to cry. She rushed back into the room to find the baby had fallen off the couch and was stretched out on the floor. Meanwhile, Stephen sat there, looking so innocent and angelic. My friend said, "Stephen, I told you to watch her." Stephen answered, "I did." He watched her fall off the couch, and he watched her cry. He did exactly what he was told to do. Being a mother is not easy. Sometimes you are filled with joy, and sometimes you are filled with sadness. Sometimes your children make you so proud, you want to pop your buttons. At other times, you can't find enough tissue to dry your tears. I can understand the feelings of a young mother with 3 children who was asked, "If you had it to do all over again, would you have children?" "Yes," she replied, "but not these same ones." Being a mother is not easy. In fact, it is difficult. But Mrs. Zebedee gives us a valuable example, for she prayed earnestly that her sons would be part of God's kingdom. We need the same concern for our children. What good is it if our children are successful in making money, driving fine cars, and living in a good and expensive neighborhood, but they don't know God and the true nature of their being? What does it matter if they gain the whole world but lose their souls? I trust that in the heart of every mother and every father here today, there is a desire that your children and your grandchildren will come to know God and the nature of their true being. Mrs. Zebedee not only prayed that her children would be part of his kingdom, she prayed that they would be actively involved in the work of his kingdom. Churches, temples, and synagogues all over the world are filled with people who are content to fill a pew on Sunday or Saturday. There are plenty of people willing to sit back and receive the blessings, but seldom do they get involved in doing any of the real work for the church or for the teaching. But where does the spirit of service begin? It begins at home with mothers and fathers setting examples and praying that their sons and their daughters might be involved in the work of the kingdom as followers and disciples of Christ Jesus. Mrs. Zebedee had big expectations for her sons. When you are working in a kingdom, there is no higher position than those on the right and the left of the king himself. And that is what she wanted for her sons. She didn't pray that her sons would be doorkeepers. She wanted them to be at the right and the left hand of Jesus. We may sit here today and consider Mrs. Zebedee brash and presumptuous, but we also have to admire her boldness. Too often we have settled in the human condition, and we have settled for less than we are. For too long we have been content to sit back and just let things happen. It is time now for each of us to take our positions on the right and on the left hand, to become aware of the truth of all being, and to practice and to live the truth that we know. The Lord calls on us to be his disciples, and let his light and light within us to shine forth to bless the whole world. Do you remember the Irma Bombeck story I shared with you at the beginning of the lesson? She said that God sang as he was creating a mother, "I am close to creating something very much like myself." I suppose that is why today is special, because we recognize that mother's love is probably the closest example we have of God's love. It is a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It is a love that sacrifices itself over and over and over again. It is a love that would even dare to lay down its life for its children. I heard a story told out of World War II and the Holocaust. It is a true story of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and two sons and their mother and father were arrested and placed in Nazi concentration camps. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you could do your work, you were permitted to live. When you became too weak to do your work, you were exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father march off to their deaths, and he knew that his youngest son, David, would be next, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back, and he didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his eldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping, and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work. So they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. Mama said, there was nothing to be afraid of, David. And she took his hand and went with him." That is motherhood. Mothers, this is your day. May God bless you and keep in it. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable and rest your feet flat on the floor and place your hands comfortably in your lap. And just relax for a moment. Close your eyes. Block out everything that's not in this holy place. Let us let go of all our concerns, our worries, and our cares. Let go of any anger or any resentment, any jealousy, any hostility. Just let go of everything and be still. Be still. And go deep within to the center of your being, where a Father waits with so much love, so much unconditional love and peace. God is. God is love. God is love, unconditional, infinite, and all-encompassing. God and I are one. Therefore, His unconditional, infinite, and all-encompassing love is within me. When I am aware that God's love fills my heart, I am consciously one with God. I feel God's loving presence encouraging me and the breath of divine life living me. God's great love is within me and goes before me to make my way joyous and secure. I am guided toward new and rewarding experiences and upward new growth and fulfilled unfoldment. I nourish the love in my heart as I meditate on God's abiding presence. Love is the seed of a precious, unfolding, infinite flower. I provide the right conditions for its growth by keeping out the weeds of negative fault-finding and inharmonious thoughts. I welcome divine love in my life. Love fills my entire being from a limitless wellspring within. Today and every day, I am consciously one with God, for His divine love fills my heart. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes His light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness, and He gives you His infinite, eternal, and unconditional love. Amen.